SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Ranch. I am Renzi. We're kicking it. Cam Stewart in the house. Ian Cameron will step in. We'll start talking some college football bowls. Bowl season set to begin on Saturday. I've got some thoughts and some picks I'm ready to pull the trigger on. We're just talking about Ohtani and the jersey sales. But there is a lot of excitement about baseball. It's been a fun offseason. It's cool that it starts sooner rather than later as well. In March, March 20th is the first game this year. Dodgers and San Diego will be playing in Korea. So we'll see if the Dodgers Asian. That was the whole thing. The Dodgers want to be Asia's team. So I think they're not done with this. I think, you know, maybe even the other pitcher, George. We were talking about Yamamoto, right? He'd be a good fit for the Dodgers. The veteran guy, right? That'd be a good fit right there even. But
The youngster wants to come out too. You know that, right? The I can't remember his name, but they don't think his team will post him. But he's going to be really, really good too.
Yeah, I think that'll happen next year. For the record, The Yamamoto stuff has to happen by January 5th. So there's still a little bit of time, but it's going to happen. Like it's coming. There's a 35 days or something. The Japanese
have a window.
I was just thinking about the Asian market and Tom Selleck from Mr. Baseball. Isn't it funny how he had a D for Dodgers on his helmet? It's actually like foreshadowing. It was Dodgers. Like, take a look at the italics of the jersey and stuff. For everybody who hasn't seen Mr. Baseball, it's like Tom Selleck, Dragons, but Dodgers.
The Dodgers they're going to sell baseball jerseys in airports in Asia now and stuff, right? They're all over the place. Dodgers, exactly. Like
you like that one, George? You see Mr. Baseball?
No, I do not like that can at all.
You see?
Interlocking NY.
In real life, too, there's like a real castaway. There's some Russian dude that's at LAX right now. He's got no passport, no nothing, no paperwork.
Really?
But he got off a plane. He got on a plane in Denmark, and he ended up at the airport in LAX type of deal. Yeah, so he's stranded. He's under arrest. So it's not like the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You get to hang in the airport. No, it doesn't work that way.
No, it's
he's in a federal penitentiary right now.
Exactly. It's not Tom. Hey, how you doing, everybody? Want to be my friend with the janitor? No, it doesn't work that way.
Tom Selleck. I like the reference, though.
Thank you.
Reverse
baseball.
Gotta do anything for a buck. So, Kurtz, Cowboys and Bills. Yes. Cowboys and Bills. What's your pick, Kurtz?
I think we're going to be sweating this one out, Gabe. I think this is a nail biter. I think we're going down. This is not going to be a blowout one way or the other. I think Josh doesn't make mistakes. More important game tonight, but this is going to be 27-24. Yeah, he comes back down to that score. It's going to be a higher scoring game, but not out of the world scoring. The weather's okay. Chance of rain, win, but no, 42 degrees. That's good for Dallas, a warm weather team. I'll pick the Cowboys here, but it's a close game. Whichever team doesn't make mistakes. Hey, Josh Allen, don't do the stupid stuff, man. You get Dallas a pick six, and it's all going to roll downhill from there. And so, for the love of God, run on Dallas. Run on Dallas. Keep with the run, and you'll have success. If Josh Allen's going to drop back 40 times, he's going to make that mistake, and Dallas will roll there.
This is going to be the game where people are going to remember why Dak Prescott should not be the MVP, Cam. Dak's
going
to have a long day on Sunday.
See, George, though, he doesn't mind bigging up the Bills, but when it comes to the Yankees, he's more defensive about the Yankees than the Cowboys. Like, you see this game? Like, how angry he got when he was talking about other things in New York? Nah, Mr. Baseball with that. Yeah, come on, George. So who do you love more, Yankees or Cowboys? I'm listening. You're saying it.
I would probably football is more emotional because it's one day a week. But if you want to say which I like more, I mean, it gets more personal. But the only thing my father and I agreed on was the Yankees. So there's a love of baseball that it's hard for me to explain. It'll always be there. The opening day to me is very it's very special. I say it's the only thing my father and I agreed on with the New York Yankees.
Interesting.
A lot of disagreements in a Kurtz household, you're saying.
Yeah, Pepsi versus Coke, Yankees versus other squadrons.
My father was a Schmitz drinker. Those little bottles of Schmitz is what he drank all the time.
Oh, wow.
You're not much of a Not much of a troublemaker either, Kurt. So what'd you guys disagree on so much?
Yeah, you're a nice guy.
My father was an alcoholic.
Oh, okay.
So that's so.
Yeah, alcohol's dangerous.
Yeah. It killed him.
So that's what turned alcohol. Alcohol can be a slow killer. Everything in moderation, right? That's the key. So speaking of which, Kurtz, I said earlier, that's why you're the sober one at the Sports Grid Christmas party.
Yeah.
Right? So you had a sober view. Who is the drunkest individual? Don't worry. No one on the network listens or watches this show.
I ain't saying it.
So, like, I'm going to be not saying that.
He's saying it. Like, the question
yeah, I'm saying it. Right. It's so like who is the drunkest? Get him in the room. Sweat it. Who is it? Come on, George. So, do it.
Yeah, come on. Were there very toxic? Were there any incidences or funny stories?
There was
stories?
No way he was sloppy drunk, and there was no incidences. But we all know who probably was. Okay,
sounds like BS to me. I don't believe any of this stories. The story sucks.
It was a good time. We had a good time there. But I'm certainly
sounds
not naming
like a boring
names.
Party cam because you and
smart,
I were
really
there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Drew Martin was there. Brady came. It was a good time. Good to see
everybody but me and Dave. Apparently.
This is Sports Rage. I am Dave Lombardi, the Crystal Players, the Hustler, the people of Boston, and everybody else in between. Yeah, we got George Kurtz. What is this? True Cam. People are like flying from all over the place except you and I. I don't know if we should be taking this personal or not, as George Kurtz was at the Christmas party in New York City. But me personally, if I'm going to fly somewhere, I need a better reason than just to go to a party.
I agree.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Especially like unless it's like a party, like if Hugh Hefner was throwing a party, if he was still alive at like the Playboy Mansion or something.
Yeah, I might try.
Good call. Good call.
So what was the party like, Kurtz? You have to have some sort of story for us.
I could tell you the producers had it. You'll like this. The producers had a running bet of how tall I was. Because they had never seen me. So they were, is George secretly like 6'3"? No, I'm not. You know, so that was, I found that hilarious.
Can I guess your height, George? I bet you're about 5'9".
Cam, I like your guess, but I ain't that. Gabe's met me, so he knows how tall I am. So, vertically challenged. There you go. I'm about 5'6", 5'7".
Oh, you're a jockey. Okay, fair enough.
Wow, I wouldn't say I'm a jockey. I'm not 5'2". Damn.
Sorry, I'm just being
a jockey. Jockeys are smaller. Yeah, jockeys.
Yeah, jockeys. Yeah, jockeys are 5'2". 5'2". It's
except me and Cam, when we owned the horse, our jockeys were like 240 pounds.
Our jockeys were like running the horse. I'm like, how come everyone else is thinner? What are you doing? Stop eating.
You know you're in trouble when your jockey's fat, big, tall, fat guy.
Our jockey had more problems than us. Poor horse. That's not good. Our drivers they had a lot of issues. They needed to not drink, George. Yeah, they should have not hit the bottles.
All right. Well, it didn't sound like we missed much if the wildest thing was guess George Kurtz's height at the party, right?
Yeah, really. That was the highlight of the party. Wow.
I don't think anything. Nothing happened. Nobody fell. No fights. No arguments that I saw. It was a pretty
pretty
a
disappointing
pretty
party.
Me too. I'm disappointed.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Up by 1 point with a couple of seconds left. We'll keep our eye on this. We played that San Francisco-Nevada play. We got in on Utah State this evening. Utah State and the over. This Utah State basketball team came into tonight with only one loss, and their record remains super impressive with a win tonight against Santa Clara, and the game goes over the number. So we got college basketball. We'll keep our eye on the end of this basketball game right now. 61-59 with 8 seconds remaining. But Seattle have the ball actually, so Seattle could tie or win with a three here at the end, which would really upset me. But bowl season is here. We're ready. Get your bowling shoes. All right, Seattle misses their shot. get your bowling shoes out. It's ready to go. We're going to the lanes this week. And we got a bunch of games on Saturday, like from morning to night, East Coast to West Coast, and everywhere else in between. Let's do this thing. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, steps up and in. Babano, how you doing tonight? Thanks for joining us.
Doing good, Gabe. Cam, good to be with you guys. As the great Dave Malinsky would say every year at bowl season, bowling for dollars. That's exactly what we're doing.
I don't remember him ever saying that, but all right.
He did. It used to be a famous TV show. Remember Bowling for Dollars?
Yeah. Right. He put it in his point blank column, actually, that all very right. phrase.
The show was actually pretty good.
Yep. Dave's best line, which one was always good, he'd always say at the beginning of every year that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And he would remind people of that before, like March Madness and stuff like that. And that's what I thought you were going to say. Which people actually should be reminded of this, especially with these early bowl games. I've talked about it in past years, especially if you're new to betting or, you know, you're younger or whatnot. You don't want to ruin your Christmas or your New Year's because of bad bets that you made on the Cure Bowl or the Mexico Avocado Bowl and some of these games. Because you're like, oh, bowl, you know, all these bowl games are on. I'm not saying don't bet them. But remember, there's 42 bowl games. You know, you got 41 games and then the final game. So take away the college playoffs, whatever. You got 39 bowl games, essentially. Yeah. So there's 39 of these bowl games. There's a lot of them. There's going to be opportunities. There's going to be days where there's going to be football on all day. So pick your spots. Like, we're not telling you don't bet them, but we're just stating pick your spots. And don't go crazy early on somebody's,
I wish
you know,
six, somebody gave me that advice, Gabe, when I was
they're
younger.
Six and six teams. Well, that's the point. Yeah. Like, they're, you know, you're dealing with like crapshoots here. There's no locks on Saturday. You want to be on the right side. You hope for the best. And one thing we'll do for you over the week is try to give you as much real information. If you read a lot of stuff online, a lot of the stuff's written by AI, and or people don't have any clue that the players transferred and like what the situation really is with the teams. But it is true, Cam. I've always told people, you know this, especially like you're betting, if you're betting on like December 18th and December 20th and stuff, it's all going to catch up to you. And then what's going to happen, guys, it's going to be some game that you really like. Your bankroll is going to be shot. You're going to think, I can't believe I lost all that money on that New Mexico State game last week. And that's why I'm having a bad night or a bad week. Right now. So just manage your money going into bowl season.
You don't want to be in church with your family on Christmas Eve, like tears in your eyes, singing carols, thinking all the money you lost in college. Been there. It could really ruin a Christmas. It's very disappointing. No, I'm dead serious. Marenzi's actually doing people a public service message right now. Like, I've actually ruined a Christmas by going bananas around this holiday season. And
you're
panicking.
Trying to be happy, right? Joyous around the fam and enjoy the holiday, and you can't get the depression of losing bets out of your mind.
It's the time of the season. You don't need to go nuts. That's all. Lots of
games. Which everybody will, and everyone's going to have their moment of weakness. But we've all been there where, listen, I've done it with, like, Saturday NBA, the Christmas NBA stuff, and like the Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve. Some of these games where you get caught up in it, you're betting too much money. Because put it this way, if it was a full slate on a Saturday, Babano, people wouldn't care about Georgia Southern and Ohio. You know what I'm saying? Like, if there was a full slate of college football on, people wouldn't bet on Jacksonville State and Lafayette. They wouldn't care. Like, the only reason those teams, that there's a reason why these teams play in midweek, because no one would pay attention or care, and it wouldn't be on TV, right? So, you sort of have to remember that. But with that being stated, doesn't mean that these games aren't super important to a lot of these kids. And one thing I'll say about bowl season two, guys, is these games are actually the funnest ones, these early ones, because these are the teams that actually do care the most. Right, like all the other big schools, everyone's split for the most part. And look at James Madison, even. They cried all year about not being allowed to play in a bowl game. They get in a bowl game, their quarterback and their coach leave. Right? Yep. So there's always different motivating factors here. And you know this, Babano, if there's one team, the first team up here, Georgia Southern and Ohio, if there's one team that has been absolutely hit the hardest by the offseason until this bowl game, it's the Ohio Bobcats. Curtis Rourke, of course, their star quarterback. He's in the transfer portal. The backup, C.J. Harris, he's hurt. He's out. So you're down to a third-string quarterback. Both their running backs have entered the transfer portal. Their number one wide receivers entered their transfer portal. So they're without their quarterback, their two running backs, and their top wide receiver. The only reason this number is what it is because I think of Ohio's bowl pedigree, to be honest. They've been very good in bowls, this team. What do you think about the first one up here with Bano with Georgia Southern and Ohio?
Yeah, I mean, I can't bet Ohio with the opt-outs and with, obviously, Curtis Rourke out, C.J. Harris hurt, and we're down to Parker Navarro, the third-string quarterback for the Bobcats, who has a whopping 5 pass attempts in his college career. I mean, obviously, you're going to have the bowl practices to get this kid ready for the game. That's not, doesn't mean he's going to be able to play at a very high level. But I'll say this, though. Georgia Southern's defense wasn't exactly great. So maybe they can coach him up here and get him ready. But, you know, you're talking about a lot of missing pieces, especially on the offensive side of the football. Georgia Southern is a team that defensively might be able to take advantage of that, maybe a shorthanded offense. Because, to be honest, like I said, their defense wasn't great. Davis Brin's a very experienced quarterback. They got him from Tulsa. The offense was the strength of this Georgia Southern team this year. I think they might be in some trouble, though, against Ohio, because the defense for Ohio was excellent this year. It was a bounce-back season for Ohio defensively, and the defense might be good enough to keep them in this game. I mean, I understand people betting Georgia Southern. I would lean that way. I don't love the game. I think, though, I don't want Ohio. I would lean under as well. I think it's going to be one of those games where Ohio's got to keep this game, you know, relatively close by running the football, you know, shortening the game. You know, the Georgia Southern offense, too. One thing about Brin is turnover numbers really went up later in the season, and Ohio's very good at forcing turnovers, and their defense just in general played really well. So I'm not sure we're going to see the scoreboard being lit up here in this first bowl game.
Georgia Southern's the play, Cam. Ohio are going to get rolled in this game.
Ohio has been good to me in the bowl season, but you're right. There's a lot of negative factors going into the game. I remember
the Rourke brothers were the quarterbacks, right?
Yeah,
like Nate Rourke was 3-0 in bowl games, right? 4-0, and last year, whatever. C.J. Harris, I think, was the quarterback. For the record, Ohio have lost 5 straight games to the Sun Belt. Sun Belt teams are 7-3 in the last 10 bowl games against the MAC. It's one of the Sun Belt MAC matchups that usually does not end well for the MAC team. Like, they used to be, you know, the Sun Belt used to, a long time ago, guys, be the bottom feeder. They were, like, ranked the worst conference in college football. Not anymore. Like, the Sun Belt is lethal. You see, they knock off big-time teams all the time in the Sun Belt. The Sun Belt now gets players that sort of just shy of the SEC and or kind of really good players, but, you know, had grade issues or whatnot. Like, you know what I mean? You're in Louisiana, but whatever reason, the kid's not at Louisiana State for various reasons. So they're getting, the Sun Belt's getting a lot of sort of the scraps that are really, really good. And quite frankly, the MAC is kind of like a bad high school conference. It's bad.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Renzi. We're taking an early look at some of these bowl games right now. So the Myrtle Beach Bowl, we were talking about the Ohio Bobcats in this football game, taking on Georgia Southern. So listen, Ohio are a good football team, but as we talked about, Curtis Rourke entered the transfer portal. Their second-string quarterback, C.J. Harris, had a medical emergency earlier in the year. Their top two running backs, who were actually good, have both left. Their number one wide receiver left as well. The cupboard is really bare in this football game. And then, you know, yeah, Ohio have won 4 bowl games in a row, but it was really the Rourke brothers. Ohio are 3-12 in their last 15 games against non-conference opponents. They've lost their last 5 games straight up against Sun Belt teams. And as we mentioned, the Sun Belt have won 7 of the last 10 bowl games head-to-head against the MAC opponents. But let's keep it rolling here right now. I actually did, and I've dug into this Florida A&M game, the Celebration Bowl against Howard. Florida A&M, 11-1 on the season. Pretty good football team. Their only loss this year was to the South Florida Bulls. So they ran the table. They've got a very good defense. Number 2 in FCS in total scoring and scoring defense. Number 1 in the nation, tackles for loss. Have allowed more than 20 points just 2 times this year. But you look at this game, guys. Howard are 6-5, but they played a pretty tough schedule. They played against Eastern Michigan. They played against Northwestern. Like, they played real teams, and they've hung around. These guys can put points up on the board. They score like 29 points a game. They give up like nearly 24 a game. Meanwhile, Florida A&M, we can talk about their defense. They only give up 14 a game, but I think Howard are going to be able to score on them. I like the over of this game. The total is too low here in the Celebration Bowl. You want to watch a cool halftime show and bands and stuff. This is the one to watch. Howard and Florida A&M, man, these guys are going to put a show on in Atlanta at the Mercedes-Benz on Saturday afternoon. That leads us into the Bayou, the New Orleans Bowl. But Bano, Jacksonville State and Lafayette on the board. Cam, I'll throw it to you first. What's your pick? Who are you taking here, Jacksonville State or Lafayette?
I'm concerned about one thing, guys, and I know Jacksonville State, they seem to be a very popular play. Like, a lot of people are going to be betting them in this game, but that is the side that I want in this game. You said it, Marenzi. I think you bring up a really good point. Things could be really slow in the game, and then they'll have a crazy half, and things will go nuts. There's a lot of absolute, like, weirdness. You could have, like, 8 punts and then touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Very unpredictable. We got to see them during the week a lot this year, you know, those UTEP games and stuff. I lean Jacksonville State, but I just see a lot of money coming in on this team right now, but they'll be fully motivated, and Utah about it before. That's who you bet on in bowl games. Who wants to be there? Who wants to play? Who wants to win? Not thinking about the future, but thinking about the now. I lean Jacksonville State.
One thing is, we've heard a lot. There's been a buyback cam on Lafayette right now. There's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. One thing we'll say, guys, every team this Saturday will be motivated. So you're going to hear a lot of the motivation talk and angles. That comes in later. Not with these teams that are actually happy to actually make a bowl game. Because, you know, my Jacksonville State are obviously fired up, Abandon. We know that. It's their first bowl game. They're, you know, they had a great year, 8-4 on the season, 8-4 straight up, 8-3-1 ATS. But Lafayette aren't like the type of program to take bowls for granted. And it's in their home state. They are fired up, too. You're playing in the Superdome. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they are openly fired up about it. They said motivation is not a factor for our kids. Like, they're talking about representing the state, representing their conference, and they're into this game. Like I said to Cam earlier, Jacksonville State games, man, they're always just wild. Like, they either blow a lead, they come back, there's always late points, and crazy stuff always happens. This should be a pretty fun bowl game, but, man, the total is high, but I understand why. I could see weird things and crazy things happening in the second half of this bowl game.
And you guys know one thing? The Raging Cajuns have been perennial bowl team for a long time, where Jacksonville State's kind of new to this thing. So that's the
they're
thing about the Raging
Cajuns. They're a
good
bowl team, too, Kev. They've won 7 of the last 10 bowl games.
Yeah, no, they're very, very good.
They play in this bowl at home.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true. I'm just saying, though, it's interesting that they're going back and back and back, and then you get a fresh team in there. So we'll see how that does to the Jacksonville
last
State's going to be absolutely fired up.
Only 3 teams run the ball more than Jacksonville State do. So, like, the military teams, essentially. Yep. Jacksonville State run the ball a lot. But they'll mix in a pass, but they're pretty explosive on the ground. They run the ball a lot. In Babano, Lafayette are ranked 85th in the country versus the run. I think Jacksonville State will have success on the ground, but Lafayette's going to move the ball on Jacksonville State as well. I like Jacksonville State. I like the angle of, you know, getting into that first bowl win. Rich Rod's been in bowl games before. He's been in 13 of them. So he's a veteran, bowl veteran. But let's not kid ourselves. This is going to be a close game that comes down to the wire.
It should be. It should be. I don't think they'll blow them out, but I do like Jacksonville State. I like the idea of that rushing attack, which is a run-heavy, up-tempo offense with Rich Rod here at Jacksonville State against a really bad run defense. And the Raging Cajuns really had trouble stopping the run all season long. Yet their offense was really good especially down the stretch. They've lost multiple quarterbacks. Ben Wooldridge, the original starter, Zion Crist then took over. He got injured, and then they had to go to Chandler Fields at quarterback, and he actually threw the ball pretty well down the stretch. And if there's one weakness in Jacksonville State on defense, it's their secondary. They're good against the run. They're not as good against the pass through the air. So I think it's offensive advantages for both sides. I really like this game up and over the total here, 59, 58.5, 59. And I like Jacksonville State. I think they're just the better team in this matchup. For Lafayette, they've been in this bowl game many times in the New Orleans Bowl. Jacksonville State, you know, their first FBS bowl game, you know you're going to get their best. And, you know, I just think they're the better squad. So laying a short number, I'm okay with that.
Let's talk about the Cure Bowl. We've got App State and Miami, Ohio, another MAC team in bowl action here. Listen, man, Miami had a great year this year, and they got smoked earlier in the year in a game I remember because I bet on them, and they got killed. It was Miami versus Miami. The Miami Hurricanes beat them. They lost to the Toledo Rockets. Well, that's pretty impressive, actually, what they did this year. They lost Blaine Gabbert to injury earlier in the year. Then they lost Avion Smith to the transfer portal, so they're going to start Harry Hessen in this game. Miami 10-3 ATS on the year. App State, they finished the season strong. They lost their last game, but they were on a 5-game win streak before that. App State generally have been a very good bowl team as well. But with all that being stated, guys, even with a third string quarterback with Miami, they're. It seems like this point spread's a little high. I think people are just sort of picking on the MAC here blindly a little bit and also thinking, oh, look, they have their third-string quarterback. Like, we talked about Ohio having a third-string quarterback. Yeah, they also don't have – he doesn't have anyone else. Like, it's not like you can turn around, oh, you got the Stars, everyone else is still here. Miami didn't lose anybody. Like, Miami's fine. They lost their quarterback. But, like, Miami was not hit, like, hard by the transfer portal like the Ohio Bobcats were. Seems a little high to point spread here, Babano, with 6.5 right now.
For me, now it is. Initially, when this line came out, knowing that Avion Smith was out, knowing that Brett Gabbert, of course, out for the season, and they were down to their third-string quarterback, Henry Hessen, I wasn't interested initially with Miami O, but once this line got up to 6.5, now sevens are starting to appear. I am more interested. This is a very good defense. It's a defense that's been able to keep them in a lot of games. It's a defense that's why they won the Toledo MAC championship against Toledo. They won that game because of the defense. The offense was just not very good in that game. The defense was spectacular, and I think it's a defense that can keep them in that. And App State's not a team that defensively I trust to lay a touchdown in a bowl game on a neutral field. Keep in mind, as much as I like their offense, and Joey Aguilar did an outstanding job at quarterback for them, there are concerns with this team defensively. So I like Miami O's defense at this number now, up to 7, to keep them in the game. Lean over now. I also think the total's gone a bit too low because App State's strength is offense. Miami O on offense, yeah, it's a third-string quarterback, but they haven't seen this guy, App State, their defense, and their defense hasn't been great. You could see some trick plays, wrinkles in the playbook. That should help Miami's offense here.
Man, how many years of eligibility has that Gabbert guy been there, kid?
Yeah, I know he's
Blaine
been there
Gabbert's brother.
That.
Like, seriously, it was your ninth like year of eligibility now.
I know.
Now he's hurt. He's probably going to be back next year now.
It's a good call, Moretti. Can you believe this team, though? I'll give the Miami of Ohio Redhawks a lot of credit. The most points they've given up in 10 games is 21. Shutting out a couple teams, like, that's crazy. Holding Toledo to 14. But Bano's right, Gabe. Like, this defense, that line's gone up too much. It's Miami of Ohio for me. If you could find a 7, I'll pull the trigger big time. I don't care if they're a MAC team. Too many points.
No, I think they're in a good spot here. I like them against App State as well. The App State's kind of their name. It's like,
yeah,
is what the point spread. It's the brand and all the MAC sucks and App State's cool and App State's good in bowl games. All right, so New Mexico State and Fresno State. We're coming up against the break here, but we've got New Mexico State and Fresno State. New Mexico State are 3.5-point favorites in this game right now. The total is 51. The L.A. Bowl. The last two were kind of fun, actually. The UCLA Boise State game, the Bruins are now 4.5-point favorites. The total is 48.5. We know Boise's offense started to dial things up as the year went on with their new coach. And meanwhile, UCLA, their defense is very good. And Cal and Texas Tech should be a fun football game. This one, there should be points in. Cam, your thoughts. We'll get Babano's thoughts on the other side. Cam, what do you think about these bowl games? New Mexico State, Fresno State, UCLA, Boise State, Cal, and Texas Tech. What do you like there?
I got to tell you, Morenci, the line movement, too. So Boise State, first of all, you know, it's only plus two now, 4.5. That's getting like kind of like the other game with Miami of Ohio. I'm very interested in Boise State. I love what their offense did against the UNLV at the end of the year there. They've been really turning it on since the coaching change. I think I'm going to take the points with Boise State in that game. And I agree with you, Cal, Texas Tech, over 57.5.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
One thing I'll say, I think this number is a little high too. UCLA, I think people might be buying into the fact that the game is in LA, that it's the LA Bowl.
Exactly.
I don't know how enthusiastic UCLA fans are going to be about it.
Yeah, I agree. Wow, we get Boise.
Like, Boise will travel like they did to Vegas. They'll be like, yeah, let's go to L.A. That's going to be a great time, right? Like,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. What a difference an hour and a half or two makes. About 2 hours ago, Cam was praising the LA Kings. And I heard you mention effing clowns, losing to the Jets 4-2. Clowns.
No, I'm just brutal. Like, I was having such a good night. You know, everything was going good.
This is the carpet was pulled from underneath you. Hey,
honest to God, Gabe, I had a really good night.
It was 2-0. They tried a 2-0 lead, bro.
Yeah. No, dude, you could have got the Jets live game at, like, I don't even know what they were.
Canadians were up 2-0 tonight, lost the game. I'm telling you, it's all the time, the 2-0 dread.
I did have the over in that Canadians-Pittsburgh game. I got to tell you, Montreal really gave that game away, too. You said it, man. Look at these. So what's the moral of the story, Gabe? For all you guys out there, just take the dog or when you're down two goals. These hockey games, no lead is safe. No,
it's so cliche, man, that it's 2-0 and you're screwed, but it happens all the time.
The Devils were down and they came back and won. Every team that was trailing 1 or 2-0 in the game won tonight.
Except Buffalo.
except for Buffalo. They don't count.
Except for Buffalo.
Buffalo Sabres. Dude, I can lose every bet in this game.
7.5 minutes.
Please don't pull the goalie. He just don't pull the goalie.
No, that's the worst. Like, if you're down three, you pull a goalie in a playoff game. I get it, but like, you've been getting your ass handed to you all night. Like, why just make it worse? Like, it's just demoralizing.
An hour ago, I was looking at my account, going, "Ooh, I'm gonna have a lot of money to get." Now I'm like, "This is not good. I'm gonna go to bed angry." This is
something about the Kings. I don't know, because the King crowd is good. They have great energy in there and stuff. And then usually they have been a good home team over past years, but they're not this year. They don't win, right? They're not winning at home, and they're priced big time all the time. And it's not 4-1 anymore. It's 5-1. Colorado just scored.
Oh, boy. Yep.
I'm sticking this team on the power play. We need to string wins together. Yeah, they keep talking. We have to string wins together. We have to string good performances together, and they never do. This Buffalo team.
Dude, Buffalo, too. I'm watching the game. They have, like, an open net, and they'll shoot it at the goalie. They just do everything wrong. Like, you're right. You took the game's lying to me, Babano. Why do you do this to yourself? I don't know. I don't know.
I said that earlier, Cam. When he said he was on the Sabres. I don't know why you do this to yourself.
You're on the Sabres, too, Babano. I know you. I know you're on the Sabres tonight. I feel it. I know you are.
I'm a Bills fan, and when I was a kid, I liked the Sabres. I wasn't like a diehard, but I liked them. But thank God, like, I'm not a Sabre fan, too. Our boy Tommy's a Sabre fan. A nice combination for our boy Tommy. Sacramento Kings, Buffalo Sabres, and Buffalo Bills. That'll
put you in a mental institution. Like me. Yeah. Tommy, you need help, bro. I thought I had problems, man. You're right there with me. Damn Sabres.
How about our boy Matthias? Atlanta Falcons and LA Clippers.
At least we're not Piston fans, Morenci. 21 losses in a row, baby. Thank God we're not off that train. What a train wreck.
The Pistons last won a game. It was October the 28th.
Yeah.
That's when they won. So they're probably going to go from before Halloween to maybe the new year without winning.
That is insane.
That's rough.
Like, I don't even know. Didn't San Antonio have an 18-game losing streak? Like, what is going on in the NBA? Like, these are unprecedented times. Like, even the worst team doesn't have losing streaks like this.
The Spurs are trying to tank again, Pop. Like, they're trying to get more young players for Wembanyama. So, if I'm Wembanyama, I'd be looking at Pop. I'd be probably on the phone, like, speaking in French, thinking, I don't know about if this is such a great place for me to end up after all.
Yeah.
Like, Popovich does say he's more concerned with not booing Kawhi Leonard than he is the Spurs sucking.
Good call.
It's like, hey, Pop, win some games. Don't worry about the crowds.
He has no concern about winning the battle. It's like, I'm great, Popovich. I have a job for life. Screw you. I know more than you, so shut up. If anyone ever questions him, he goes all Belichick on him, and he's always such a nice guy. But he just gets aggressive with you in the media. Oh, I guess you know. How many titles did you win? Right? And he just sort of makes the person in the media whatever. He bullies them. And, like, he always does that, right? That's his little thing. I'm just saying the Spurs suck. Like, it sucks for Wembanyama. Like, he's really got nothing. He's just, like, they're a bunch of stiffs. Like, it's bad. Yeah. 4-2 in the hockey game and now 5-1 in the game. All right, I want to get into the NFL, but, Bano, before we do, the total, I want to get into the total tomorrow night. I'm shocked it's still 34.5 right now. But I'll get into that in a couple of minutes. But what about the other bowl games? But Bano, we won't go through them all in detail right now. But what do you think about the night games, college football bowls on Saturday?
So I lean Boise, haven't bet it yet. I am concerned about who's missing for them. I like New Mexico State, actually, in the game against Fresno. They're 3.5, 4 now. It's moved. I still think he can lay at 3.5, 4 right now. Fresno, of course, won't have Jeff Tedford. Tim Skipper's going to be the interim coach. They played awful football down the stretch. Mikey Keene regressed down the stretch. And New Mexico State, look, they had a tremendous season. They were an ATS machine. Jerry Kill led his team to a bowl win last year as well. So we know Jerry Kill's got a a track record of leading this team to a bowl victory. He did it last year. They're an even better team this year. I think they're amped up with this being, you know, pretty close to their own backyard in Albuquerque. I like New Mexico State there to take care of Fresno.
Cam, Thursday night football. Actually, let me just quickly look here. So, Thursday night, what do we got in the NHL tomorrow night? Now, at least, you know what, it's not bad. The Florida Panthers and the Canucks are on instead of the football. We can pay attention to that a bit. Blackhawks, Kraken, Lightning, Oilers. Interesting game, Lightning, Oilers. Senators and Blues, two teams, two frustrated teams going head-to-head there.
Yeah,
what about that, actually, guys, quickly? Yeah, they get it's almost the automatic, right? Coach gets fired, you bet on the team of the NHL. Senators are minus 115 favorites on the road here.
The thing is, too, I think Berube got fired. Can you believe this guy won a Stanley Cup, what is it, 5 years, 6 years? Like, what? Like, and now you're getting rid of this guy? When he came in, they went on a tirade. And they took it. Remember, Binnington was on fire, and they made that run and beat the Bruins. Now you're firing this guy? Anyway, whatever. The Ottawa Senators have their own problems, Marenzi, but maybe they're happy Berube's gone because he's an old-school guy. He probably barked at them a lot, and they just are probably happy that he's gone.
What do you like tomorrow, Babano, in the NHL?
That one's tough because Ottawa was not happy. They were livid after their loss to Carolina with how they played in that game. So I think Ottawa's going to come to play tomorrow night. I don't think that's that automatic bet for me with just bet the team that fired their coach because I think Ottawa's bringing it in that game tomorrow night with St. Louis. I like Calgary a little bit against Minnesota as a dog because Minnesota, to me, you know, they won those few games with John Hines and then they started to lose a couple. I think Minnesota is going to fall back into that, you know, mediocre team that they started the season that resulted in Dean Evason losing his job. So I like Calgary off a hard-fought, tough loss, couple of tough losses. They should have beat Colorado. You argue they could have beat Vegas. In the game, in the back-to-back as well. So they're actually playing really
good. What do you think about this one, too? Sorry, Babano. I was just going to say, with Columbus, the Leafs have Columbus feeling great about going to New York and kicking the Rangers' butt. This is the type of game these guys screw up.
Oh, yeah.
You're not laying 270 with the Leafs. And I know this team inside out, right, Babano, Gabe? You guys know this could be like an overtime win or like a Columbus upset, Gabe. Take the Leafs tomorrow.
That has sprinkled across three bets written all over it. Columbus plus 1.5, Columbus money line in the draw. And the Leafs are the kings of the draw. Lots of overtime games. So I'll be on all three.
Good call.
I'll wrap up the hockey talk here with the last game on the board. And once again, I just don't understand, but I appreciate it. The odds makers making the Vancouver Canucks home dogs. Okay. Time and time again, they're underpriced. You have the Florida Panthers listed as minus 115 favorites over to Vancouver Canucks. Canucks coming off of wins against the Carolina Hurricanes, against the Tampa Bay Lightning, same thing. They were underdogs, or just small, you know, pick 'em situations. And this is the last game of their homestand, so they're going to show up knowing, all right, we're going on the road after this. Another thing is, too, in hockey, you're always looking for that sort of angle. It's Roberto Luongo night. Roberto Luongo is being put into the Ring of Honor, or in the building, his number and all that type of stuff being retired. I don't think it's a negative, actually. I think the Canucks are going to feed off it. And I'll tell you what, guys, I've been in that building over the years, and it was either flat, not non-energetic, and or angry, people throwing jerseys on the ice. It was never like a, you know what I mean? And even when they would score sometimes, people would be like, they shouldn't win. They should get a Bedard, and they should rather they lose. And yeah. If you watch them now, you listen to that building now, it's almost like 2000, like 10, 11 all over again. Like, there's an energy in there. Like, they're cranking the music a little louder. Like, when the team scores, you got fans banging the glass. Boom, bang, 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 bang. Like people are fired up and drunk. And, like, you know what I mean? It's just sort of got that, hey, we're good. Let's own this, and let's be proud that we're good. Brock Besser, who's playing better hockey right now than Brock Besser?
Nobody. I love that guy.
Like, guy's leading the league in NHL goals right now. Leads the NHL goals, tied for goals.
And they were thinking of severing ties last year with Besser.
This is what we expected from this guy. He's got a game. And know what they did, too? That Tampa Bay game was interesting. Vancouver shut them down, man. We know the Lightning can score. They actually played great defense.
Yeah, they did clamp down on Tampa.
They really clamped down.
They dominated. That was their best game, Cam. They dominated, too. That was impressive. That's the way that they played. The Carolina win was nice, but they also blew a couple of goal lead, like Carolina back in. It was one of those wild games. Tampa, even Cooper said after, like he said, man, that's a good team. He said, like, these guys, like, they're in the right spot. Like, basically, people are getting impressed with their – they're very consistent, Vancouver. I like them in this spot, guys. They're underdogs, too. That's just crazy to me. They're underdogs.
People love Florida.
Overrated.
Yeah, it's surprising.
Overrated.
I thought Vancouver was a little cheap against Tampa Bay the other night as well when they played the Lightning. It is the end of a homestand. Sometimes the end of a homestand, you get a good homestand. Vancouver's had a pretty good homestand so far. Sometimes you get a dreary performance in the final game of the homestand. But you're right about the Luongo stuff. I think that might prevent that from happening. I think you actually will get Vancouver galvanized by that they're honoring Roberto Luongo, who's, of course, working in the Florida organization right now before the game. So, and it's just a price play, too. I mean, this is just Vancouver as a slight home underdog seems absolutely insane with how well they have played. So I agree. Value is definitely on the Canucks side here.
Vancouver 11-3-1 at home on the season. Absolute dominance at home so far this year. All right, so Thursday night football, we've got the Chargers and the Raiders. Let's just be real. It's a meaningless football game, but nothing's meaningless when it comes to betting. I don't understand I don't understand the total of this game. There's been all these 30s and all these low numbers in the NFL this year. To me, this is one of them that should be. You've got Aiden O'Connell, starting quarterback, it's been announced. Easton Stick, speaking of hockey, we got an Easton hockey stick at quarterback for the Chargers, okay? We like that.
What a handle. Stick. You just said that.
It's so good, Easton Stick. Like, wait,
he's got to get a picture stick of him holding an Easton stick. Yeah. Easton
the
stick.
Deal writes itself. If he was good, he just, he Easton's on line one. We have a deal.
Yeah, I see. Like, Easton stick at quarterback. He actually made some nice passes as the game went on last week, but Aiden O'Connell, a quarterback. I don't think Devontae Adams is playing. We know Keenan Allen is out. Everybody's out. Everybody, like, it's almost like a bowl game where players are just opting out.
Opting out, yeah.
Like, Devontae Adams, like, yeah, I don't feel well. I got an illness. It's like, really? Or are you just sick of playing with Aiden O'Connell and it's a clown show and you're getting paid anyways, right? So, like, it's one of those deals. I like the under, man, 34.5. I don't think there's going to be 35 points in this game.
It's hard to make a case for the under when we saw Minnesota and Las Vegas played almost a scoreless in four quarters
the over
game.
Hard to make the over.
Hard to play the over. The problem is, at 34.5, I don't play over that number. But I can't bet it at the over either.
But you don't bet totals, I guess.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're up against it. Three-minute warning. This is quickest 180 minutes in sports talk and television. We're going to be back for the Thursday night throwdown tomorrow night. We've got a jam-packed show. We got Thursday night football. Hard to, like, pretend we're super excited about the game, but I hope we win money on a game. And I will be betting on the under. I don't really love a side. I mean, the game's a train wreck. Let's just call it out for what it is. The old, okay, we're here to make a pick, Raiders. I don't trust the Chargers at all. And I think the Chargers, Staley's, you know what I mean? I think the Raider players will play with a little bit more pride. I think the Chargers are ready for that tap-out mode here right now. Staley can talk about this and that all he wants. I mean, he's a dead man walking. Yeah, it's a train wreck game, but I already bet the under, and I don't always bet days in advance, but I saw this total, and I was like, I don't understand this, and I got to believe it's going to come down, not up. But I'm betting the under. That's my best bet for this game. Cam, what are you doing with the Chargers and Raiders game?
I think I'm going to tease both teams to the under. Chargers plus 10, Raiders plus 4, under 41.5, Gabe. That's exactly what I'm going to do with this game.
I don't have a problem. Just hope that, yeah, you can look for the middle. You hope it's 6-6-3 game, 13-10.
Don't play, yeah. Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah, but a teaser to the under.
Yeah, well, yeah, 41.5. If they score 42, then
I will say this. Listen, I lost a total last week, guys. Like, it was looking really good at the half, man. The Jets scored 30 points in the second half. The only thing that sort of scares me here, Babano, is Easton, the way this NFL has been going, Easton Stick might just have the game of his life and throw 4 touchdowns tomorrow. Like, he'll have his 15 seconds of fame. You know what I mean? Everyone else does. Like, yeah, why not him? Like every other, most of these quarterbacks that have come in have done well.
Yeah,
like in a bizarro world, right? Joe Flacco's come in, DeVito's come in, Jake Browning has come in and done well. Like a lot of the backups actually have succeeded for whatever reason. All right, so follow me on Twitter X at SportsRage. I'll be posting picks. I'll be on with Pharrell tomorrow at 3:45 Eastern, 12:45 Pacific. Other night, you're on your own later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.